the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 133 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring A Dream Within a Dream by Bria Burton. I'm your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Tooele, Oregon. Well, just when you thought it was safe to emerge from the Edgar Allan Poe month that we had, we kind of have a bonus addendum to the Edgar Allan Poe month here. This is a special episode of the Journey Into podcast. I guess to explain, when I did my first Edgar Allan Poe writing contest, where I had somebody take a title from a Poe story, poem, whatever, and write their own story from it, I only received two entries to the contest. And they were good entries, and I produced them into stories for the podcast. But about a week later, I received an email from Bria asking if I had received her story. And I said that I hadn't. And so, it didn't qualify for the contest. But she sent the story along anyway, and I read it, and I liked it. And I fully intended to produce it over the last 2 years, either as a promotion for the next contest or something in October, or in some way, shape, or form. But I guess just, it never came to the forefront. I never, with a lot of the other stories I was doing and excuse, whatever, I never got around to producing the story, and I'd forget about it. And then Bria would remind me about it, and I'd say, oh, yeah, I got to do that story. And then, things would happen, and I never did. So after listening to the Edgar Allan Poe month this year, Bria got tired of waiting for me. And she said, you know what, if Marshall's not going to do this, I'm going to do this. And so she recorded the story. She put in the music and the sound effects and edited it and basically produced it herself. And she sent it to me, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world that she would do that. I felt bad that I hadn't done it, but that's so cool that she did that, that she decided she wanted to do the audio production, and she just handed it to me. And so, she said, well, if you want to, you can put it on the podcast or not. I'm like, of course I'm going to put it on the podcast. This is awesome. Bria's always been a great friend of the show, a great fan of what I'm doing here, and has been very supportive of me and the Journey Into podcast. And so, yeah, if she took the time to do this and to produce it herself, of course I'm going to put it on the podcast. I guess I should put a disclaimer out there that if anybody just decides to produce their own story and sends it to me, that doesn't mean I'm going to play it on the podcast. But, I've had a long history here with Bria, and I had read the story before, and I liked the story. I was intending to do it myself, but I just never got around to it. So now, Bria's handed me this produced audio of a story that I was planning to write anyway. So no better time than the present. I didn't want to wait a year or however long. And I thought, this would be a great addendum to our Edgar Allan Poe month. And I wanted to get it out here on the podcast. So here you go. Bria Burton, if you didn't know, is a runner, and she lives in Florida. She's employed as a blogger and a customer service manager at St. Pete Running Company. She is blessed with a wonderful husband and two wild pets, a dog and a cat, who keep her on her toes. They are the stars of her family-friendly short story collection, Lance and Ringo Tales. She also writes speculative fiction and inspirational women's fiction, She was awarded a first place Royal Palm Literary Award in 2011 for her epic fantasy manuscript, Lavinity. Her short stories have appeared in anthologies such as Welcome to the Future and speculative fiction magazines such as The Colored Lens. She's also a member of the Alvarium Experience, a by-invitation-only consortium of outstanding authors. And you can find out more about Bria at briaburton.com. I did have a chance to read her story, which is titled On Both Sides, for the Prometheus Saga anthology that the Alvarium Experiment put out. And it's pretty good. It's you know, about the Revolutionary War, and it's a really, really cool premise for the anthology. I've yet to read other stories from it, but it looks promising. It looks good. So I also read Bria's story, Little Angel Helper, that she wrote as part of when the Doonstief was doing their live blog writing of a story. She actually finished her story, unlike myself. And Little Angel Helper was a good story. And I think the other story that I think of is called Switching, I think, over on the Doonstief. I encourage you to go over the Doonstief and listen to Switching. That was a really good story. Anyway, let's get into the story. I'm talking way too much here. With a title like Dream Within a Dream, there is kind of a back and forth to the story. So just an advisory there. But come with me, and let's journey into uncertainty and danger.
A Dream Within a Dream by Bria Burton. Lily pointed high. A bird! She bounced on her tiptoes, her intended target difficult to spot. I see a fire-breathing dragon. I directed her pointing finger to what held my gaze. Bird! She insisted. Apparently we saw two different figures in the same cloud. It's a waste of time, said Annie. She folded her arms, the cuffs of her black sleeves puffed out and pouty like her lips. You're teaching her to be stupid. Annie reminded me of a bundle of sticks tied together and stuffed into a black sock. Her head was too big for her body. According to Daddy, it had been that way since the day she was born. Mommy thought she was a rare beauty. I thought she was a pain. We're using our imaginations, I said. That's not stupid. Daddy says so. A cloud is just a cloud and nothing more. There's no life in them, simply wisps of air and condensation.
Bird, bird, bird.
Lily hopped on her pudgy legs, thick like sausages. That's right, Lily. I turned on Annie. You just wish you could see it. I stuck my tongue out at her. Annie scowled. She unfolded her arms, strode over to Lily, and pushed her. Oof! The little girl fell back, landing on her bottom in the grass. Annie! I yelled. That was mean! Annie stormed away.
Lily, you hurt?
She furrowed her eyebrows, but didn't cry. Annie crossed the footbridge and disappeared into the neighboring woods, not once looking back. I gripped Lily beneath the armpits and lifted her back to her feet. She wasn't much heavier than some of the bigger rocks down by the lake. I wiped off her backside where grass stuck to her dress.
Bird!
I laughed.
Lily always made sure she had the last word.
Most sisters are supposed to be brats, but not Lily. She was a tiny bubble full of more tiny bubbles that sometimes burst with joy. Her laughter sent me rolling into a ball, and I tickled her just to hear the sound. Being the sister in the middle made me the one who kept Lily safe from Annie's dark moods. I liked to catch frogs and keep them in the fountain. Annie liked to steal them for dissection. I sat at Daddy's feet listening to his stories while Lily ran circles on the carpet. Annie stood in the corner and later told me why the stories made no sense or could never be real. After Sunday school, I pushed Lily on the swing in the churchyard while Daddy and Mommy talked to the older people. Annie appeared when it was time to leave. I never knew where she had gone, but she always looked angry, like she spent the time pouting. In the days when the leaves changed, I climbed as many trees in the backyard as possible. I could jump to a branch that was 6 feet off the ground. I was tall for my age and spry, as Daddy put it. Up high, I could see into the fourth-story rooms of Sharonon. People called our house a mansion, and sometimes they looked odd when they said it, and other times they looked like they bit into something sour. Annie always looked like she was halfway into a lemon with no sugar. I could watch her from the high tree branches. She wasn't much entertainment, moping or strutting or staring off across the lake. I wonder if she ever knew I was there. It was getting cold, the chilling October winds rushing over me. About as high as I could get in one of our oversized maples, reds and orange fluttered around me in a swirl of fiery color. Leaves dropped quickly this time of year, and soon the tree would be bare. I saw smoke rising from the chimney. No one was below me except the gardener putting away his tools. The smell of something cooking wafted around me. Turkey or goose. I could almost taste the seasoned poultry, and my mouth watered. I stepped down, but the branch cracked. My foot slipped. I reached up, grabbing the large branch above. I wrapped both arms around it tight, holding on for dear life. On another branch, I found better footing. My heart pounded inside my chest, and I forgot that I had been cold at all. With relief, I stared up and thanked God for not letting me fall. As I looked back toward the ground to see where I should climb down, a movement in the window stopped my gaze. I saw Annie. Something about her seemed odd. She wore all black as usual, but her eyes looked black too. Even from the tree I could see them. They were normally blue. I realized that the window where she stood was Lily's room, not her own. That was strange. Annie never went into Lily's room. Maybe she went in to find out what Daddy and Mommy liked so much about Lily. Was Annie jealous because they paid all sorts of attention to Lily? Seems to me they had to. She was so little and helpless. Never bothered me. I knew they cared about me, too. Maybe Annie didn't know. If Annie would just smile once in a while, maybe I could like her better than I did. But her lips didn't appear to move that way. As she stepped toward the window, I saw something in her hand, a glint of metal in the light. It looked like a knife, maybe one from the kitchen, but why would she carry it into Lily's room? The question sent shivers over me. Goosebumps popped up all over my skin. Annie's eyes moved to my spot in the tree. She jumped back, the look on her face an instant mask of horror. I stared at her, wondering what was wrong. She knew I climbed trees. I had the feeling I'd caught her doing something she intended no one to see. She vanished from sight. I had to know if she was up to no good. I climbed down carefully but quickly. I ran up the steps and into our brick house by way of Daddy's office. I sidestepped his desk, bumping the ashtray on the corner with my elbow, nearly knocking it off. I paused to straighten the metal dish. A half-smoked cigar rolled to a stop inside the bowl, and I returned it to the ridge on top where it belonged. Out his door, I bounded up the red-carpeted stairs. The house seemed dark. It was late in the day, yet no one had turned on any lights or lit any candles. The wood paneling on either side of the stairs especially captured darkness and held it in. I was out of breath and a little spooked by the time I got to the top floor. No candles lit the wide hall. Lily's door was open. Light from the window guided me. I ran and grabbed the doorframe to stop myself. The curtains were drawn back to let in the fading daylight. Annie and Lily weren't there. Nothing seemed out of place. Lily's toys sat on their shelves. I stepped inside, touching the wooden rocking chair horse near the door. It faced the wall. Usually Lily rocked on it facing the room. I walked up to her crib, peeking over the rails. Lily's baby doll lay on her back with her eyes closed. Under her hand was a sharp metal object. Annie's knife. My pounding heart echoed in my ears. I pushed the doll aside and picked up the knife by the handle. A red streak like blood smeared the end of the blade. Annie knew I had seen her. She left this behind. What had she done? Ideas formed, things I didn't want to think.
Whatever Annie had done and wherever Lily might be, I would use all my strength to find her. I turned on my heels, poised to run. Lily! I had rescued Lily before.
Small things like making her laugh after Annie made her cry, pushing her on the swing when Annie wandered off, giving her a hug if Annie had given her a slap. Mommy said to look before you leap. I didn't. That was my mistake, that and keeping the knife in my hand. Afterward, the bad time began. I still hope in my heart that right now it's all just a nightmare, that one day I'll wake up. I still wonder what Annie did every Sunday after service. Daddy and Mommy had so many friends they talked to, and even the pastor would spend time visiting with them. I can see myself, the memory so clear that I am there. I'm a young girl again. I have to know what Annie is up to. I walk up the church steps and see a few people lingering in the hallway. Nobody is in the sanctuary anymore. I head downstairs. There are classrooms where we go to Sunday school. I peek into every room, but I don't see Annie. There's another door at the end of the hall. I open it and come out to a grove of trees at the back of the church. Nobody is out here. At least, I don't think so at first. Then something moves behind one of the trees. I step forward, walking to where I can get a better view while getting closer to whoever is behind the tree. A girl all dressed in black. Annie. You wanted to know what I was doing, but you never asked me. No one did. A grown woman speaks when Annie's mouth moves. I stop in my tracks, leaving space between us. She presents the knife. The blood is there.
What did you do? Did you hurt Lily?
The only thing that matters to me is saving my little sister. I notice my own voice sounds older, too, like a woman's. You've always cared more about her than me, you and father and mother. None of you cared what happened to me. I only started coming out here to get away from the people. I don't like people. She wiped away a tear. It was him. Everyone said he was such a good boy. He found me here. He hurt me.
What? Who?
I ask. The woman's voice is distracting, but I can understand the words.
He hurt you how?
He would push me to see if I would fall down like a twig. That's how it started. He kissed me once, but only once. The pushing down wasn't enough. He wanted to lay on top of me.
Stop!
I don't want details. I understand what she's saying. Like a woman's understanding, not like a little girl's. And then I know. I am a woman now, and I've heard all this before.
I came back to see if he would return, Annie says.
He always did, and I wanted to know what else he would do. I didn't like it, but I had to know. And I had to know if anyone would notice. No one did, even when I started doing this. She rolls up one of her sleeves. The arm beneath is skinny to the bone and pale. Along the underside, red cuts line up every few inches all the way to the elbow. Annie dissects things, even herself. She is not right in the head.
Why didn't you tell Daddy? He would have saved you.
The words give me pain. I hold my stomach groaning in sudden agony. The knife is in Annie's hand and then in my hand.
I remember.
I turned away from the crib in a rush to help. To show Daddy the knife and tell him how I saw Annie in the window.
She's so full of spite, she must have done something to Lily.
Why else would the knife have blood on it? I told you why.
Annie is in front of me in the grove of trees, both arms exposed, her sleeves rolled.
Cuts climb her arms like vines climb trees. That's what made me so upset when you saw me. Her grown-up voice suddenly matches her grown-up person. She stands before me, a woman about 30, still in black, still holding out her arms, still no smile. I thought you knew that I was cutting myself and that you ran upstairs to tell on me. Not because you cared, but to get me in trouble. That's why I ran away and left the knife behind. But... Lily! My own grown-up arms and legs are beneath me. I know what I've done. I didn't see her standing there! A bolt of lightning strikes my head. I fall to my knees with a crash. My ears ringing, my eyes full of tears. Electrocuting pain sears me from head to toe. Whether I'm a woman or not, I feel like a child, bare before God and all my guilt, and wanting him to take it away. Oh, please, God, take it away. It was an accident. The day Lily died, I died too. Inside, that sickness Annie has is different. She's had it all her life. The bad times started when I turned from the crib holding that knife. If only I had looked first. Lily stood there so close to me. How had I not heard her, not seen her? I still ask myself that question now. I try to stop my hand, but my momentum from rushing pushed the knife where I didn't mean for it to go. Today, Annie sits on a bench holding my hand. She doesn't talk to me every visit, but I hear her anyway. The conversations we've had before, I relive them over and over, trying to understand, always hoping that somehow something different will happen when I return to what seems to be a dream within a dream.
So there you go. There's A Dream Within a Dream by Bria Burton. Again, I think it's a great story. You know, it's in the spirit of the contest that I was running last year and the year before, where you take a Poe title and you make your own story out of it. But there's some elements in there that remind us of Poe, and you know, Bria did a good job here of doing that. Again, we kind of have an unreliable narrator here. We don't find that out till the end that the narrator has ended up killing somebody. It was accidental, but the narrator did do that, and it's told from the first person point of view, and you know, there's some mysterious elements and there's a death involved, and it just, you know, it's Poe-esque for sure. Again, kudos to Bria for writing this story in the first place, for being so tenacious in getting it here onto the Journey Into podcast, and producing it herself. I hope Bria continues to produce stories, either her own stories, and I'll probably ask her to produce other stories for the podcast. And so, good job, Bria. Keep up all the good work, the good writing, and your venture here into audio production. Journey on. Journey on. I think that's about it for me. I'm going to make it a point to let everybody know how to contact us here at the podcast. If you'd like to leave comments on the forums, we have a forum where you can comment on every journey that we take, every episode. That you can find that at journeyinto.freeforums.org. You can email me at journeyintopodcast@gmail.com. You can look for Journey Into on Facebook. My Twitter handle is @journeyinto. And as I announced earlier, you can also call into our voicemail line, which is at 77J into 107. Again, that's 77J into 107. I love saying that. I always feel like I'm on an infomercial when I'm giving out the voicemail number. But yeah, please call in. Comment on the forums. Like it on Facebook. Favorite it on Twitter. Write about it on your blog. Get the word out there. about the Journey Into podcast. But until next time, stay safe out there and journey on.
Hey everybody, this is Nathan Lee. I'm the assistant editor over at Escape Pod, and I'm here to tell you that the Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. This means that while you cannot change it or sell it, you are encouraged to share it however and with whomever and by whatever means you would like. The theme music for the podcast has been provided by Man in Space.